Our scripture for today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As the farmer was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds, it said, fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Jesus said, "Those who have ears, let them hear." And then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others are like seed sown among the thorns. Hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others," Jesus said, "like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Well, 8 years ago, now in the summer of 2015, a small group gathered for a Bible study at a Methodist church. Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. This is the oldest AME church in the South, and it's one that has a long legacy of working for racial justice and civil rights. The church says it wasn't unusual for them to get visitors throughout the week, especially in the summer, that oftentimes tourists would be wandering the streets of beautiful downtown Charleston, and they would sometimes pop in and ask to see the inside of this beautiful historic church building. So they didn't think it particularly odd at first when a 21-year-old named Dylan Roof came in and asked for the pastor, was shown around the church, and then agreed to stay for Wednesday evening Bible study. He sat with the pastor and about a dozen other members that night as they discussed this very passage that we just read together, Mark 4, the parable of the sower, or as it is sometimes known, the parable of the soils. Dylan Roof participated in the study for nearly an hour, listening, discussing, debating at times, until finally, as the group began to close in prayer, he stood up, pulled a gun out of his fanny pack, and began shooting. It was later determined that Roof had been radicalized by hateful disinformation online and that he had targeted these victims because of their race, as well as the civil rights work that they had been so active in. A pastor, a state senator, a track coach, a 26-year-old aspiring rapper, an 87-year-old choir member, and a white supremacist mass shooter, in what would turn out to be the final moments of their lives, studied together this parable from Jesus. And each anniversary of this horrific tragedy, there is a movement where Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston invites other congregations and other preachers to study this same text and ask ourselves once again, What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? On the surface, there isn't much interpretation needed for this text. After all, this is the only parable of Jesus where he just comes out and tells us exactly what it means. Jesus explains to his disciples, the seed that the farmer scattered is the word of God. And he explains that it lands on four types of soil that represent four different human experiences of the message of God, either growing in our lives or not. The first type of soil that we hear about, right, is hard and dry. Jesus says that this soil represents people who are not receptive to his word. And so it is plucked up by the enemy before it even has a chance to take any root at all. Here I am reminded of C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. It's an allegorical tale about a demon named Screwtape and another demon named Wormwood, and they are trying to keep the main character from coming to faith in Christ. And this one demon, Screwtape, says to the other, he says, "It's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds, when in reality, our best work is done by keeping things out." He says, "Do all you can, Wormwood, to keep our man from praying. Take out the desire." This lack of desire for God is what the hard and dry soil looks like. The second type of soil is shallow and rocky, and Jesus says that this type of soil represents those who receive God's word with joy at first, but they lack the depth for a strong faith to grow that will survive the inevitable challenges of this life. When I think of this type of soil, I recall a sermon in which a pastor friend of mine brought a giant vending machine, like a real vending machine, up on the altar, the stage area of their church. And he talked about how many of us settle for this shallow version of our faith in which we assume that if we are basically good, nice, sweet people, that that's like putting the dollar in our vending machine and that out will come, that God will dispense the answers to the prayers that we ask for and that our lives will just be kind of simple and easy and blessed. Jesus says that this type of shallow faith is the faith of the rocky soil. It won't last. The third type of soil, Jesus says, is thorny soil. And the thorns, Jesus, again, remember, Jesus tells us what the images in this parable means. He spells it out. He says the thorns represent worries, wealth, and the desire for more things. He says that these thorns choke out the word of God, making it unfruitful. Now, what do worries, wealth, and the desire for more things have in common? Those all seem sort of different, right? But in reality, all of those things put the focus on us and put the focus on things that are temporary in this life, choking out the focus on God and on what is eternal. I think of the pastor who asked his spiritual mentor, a philosopher and pastor named Dallas Willard, what he must do to grow spiritually. So this guy is asking his mentor, "What must I do to grow in my faith?" And Willard replied, he said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And the pastor said, "Oh, okay, that's great. That's a good one. I'll write that down. What's next? What's the next step? How do I grow spiritually? How do I grow in faith?" And Willard said, "There is nothing else. That's it. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." See, hurry and worry and striving for wealth and status and success, they're all kind of the same idea, right? They're all these thorns that make our lives a thorny soil in which the word of God cannot thrive. Finally, Jesus says there is good soil. He says there is soil that is soft and receptive and open and free of rocks and thorns, with plenty of depth for roots to grow. Now, I noticed that not all of the soil produces identical fruits. Some produces 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Each plant is diverse, but each miraculous in its own way. I became fascinated as I studied reading more and more stories and articles about this little Bible study group at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. It was a large church, over 1,000 in membership, but it was a small Bible study. It was only about a dozen folks who would gather each week in attendance. It was a long, ongoing study that happened every week, just ongoing basis, not one of the little four-week or six-week classes you might join for a bit, but this was an open-ended time of exploring the scriptures each week. In this group were multiple pastors, seminary graduates, community leaders, and lifelong, deep persons of faith. They'd gather first for a meal with a larger group of members, and then this small group would break off for Bible study. No formal textbook, no curriculum. They simply opened the Word of God and discussed for an hour or more, verse by verse, how these words might apply to our lives today. So on the surface, this parable is simple. The Word of God falls on different types of soil. So just be better soil, right? That's sort of the simple interpretation of this text. Just get the hardness, the dryness, the rocks, the thorns out of your life so that the word of God can take root and grow. Just, you know, go home and work a little harder and be better soil. But the folks in this Bible study group that night, as I read about their lives, it struck me that they were already pretty good soil. Lifelong churchgoers, pastors, civil rights champions, devout students of Scripture, elders in the church who gave hours each week to delve deeper into their faith, their lives were producing some pretty good fruit already, 30, 60, 100-fold. If the only thing for us to get out of this parable was to just be better soil, these folks could have packed up and gone home early that night because there wouldn't have been much more to say. If Jesus' only purpose was to get us on a soil improvement plan for this little plot of dirt that is our own individual lives, these folks could have answered the question, what kind of soil are you? Pretty quickly and truthfully, my soil's looking pretty good, Jesus. And they could have called it a night. But it strikes me that soil isn't really an individual thing, is it? It's kind of hard to tell where my little plot of soil ends and my neighbor's begins. The property line that divides our yards is really just an approximation, right? If you look at a blade of grass that is on the dividing line, is it mine or my neighbor's? It depends which way the wind blows. A weed that starts growing on my side might easily creep into his. A rock or a thorn from my neighbor's territory could easily shift to mine. And if one of our lawns is dry, or hard, or sick with disease, it won't take long before the others is affected too. So I think Jesus chose this metaphor of the soil intentionally as a way of asking not just what kind of soil am I, but what kind of soil are we? This image we have on screen here, this is a painting from a series called The Life of Jesus. This series of paintings was done by some French Catholic missionaries in order to help the Mafa people of Cameroon to understand the gospel in their own context. So these missionaries worked together with the people of Cameroon to reimagine over 70 Bible stories, with it showing the stories in an African context. And I love this painting of the parable of the sower. See, the one casting the seeds there is Jesus, but there are other people working alongside him, preparing the soil. In this way of looking at it, the question isn't whether we individually are the good or the bad soil, whether we individually are rocky or thorny soil. The question is meant to be bigger than that. The question is who around us has obstacles in their way? Who around us has maybe inherited challenges with their soil that maybe I've never had to face? And then we dig in deep into people's lives together, pulling up roots and rocks and thorns, even if it's hot outside, even if we get a little dirt under our nails, even if our hands get scraped up and cut. I'm amazed that the Mother Emmanuel AME Bible study allowed Dylan Roof to join their little circle that night. That's amazing when you think about it, right? Someone who didn't look like them, someone who didn't quite fit the mold, someone whom they just as easily could have met with suspicion and exclusion and asked to leave. But they welcomed him in. In fact, survivors of this shooting spoke about that at his trial, that perhaps they sensed an opportunity to dig into the life of another person and do some soul gardening together. We continue in their legacy every time we practice our faith, not only as individuals, but as a community. What an amazing idea that we are called to tend not only our own individual spiritual lives, but that we are called to care for the spiritual lives of the people around us. You might do that in the ways that you connect here at First Dunedin. You might do that in the ways that you get involved with a small group. You might do that by showing up to help feed the poor and the homeless next weekend. You might do that through listening and sharing authentically in a small group or a Bible study, or connecting in service somewhere around this church. I believe that Jesus asks us in this parable, not what kind of soil am I, but what kind of soil are we? One last insight that I am sure that the Bible study group reflected on that night at the church in Charleston was that the soil is not ultimately the hero of this story, right? The soil is not the main character of the parable at all. The sower is. The sower recklessly, extravagantly, some might even say wastefully, just scatters seed everywhere, even in the unlikeliest of places. The sower in this parable is not strategic. He doesn't hold back. He's not stingy. He does not carefully place the seeds in only the best and the most fertile ground. No, the sower just flings the seed onto the driest and hardest and well-worn of paths. No soil, no person is unworthy. No soil, no person is too far gone. The sower will get his hands dirty in the soil along with us. The sower will get his hands scraped up and bloody, even nail scarred, for even the slightest chance that even one seed will take root and grow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.